People misunderstand chess at its highest level. People think that chess is all about analysis, thinking 10 moves into the future, especially if you're playing blitz or rapid. At that speed, you don't have time to analyze stuff. They've just played hundreds of thousands of chess games, and they can just look at a board that, by the way, they've never seen before. Based off of what they've played before, they get a feel for what to do. Feel is involved way more than people think, and I love that with trading. It's very similar. Hey everyone, welcome to the Anarchy Podcast. 99% of traders will never make consistent profits. So why listen to the 99% of advice? On this show, we're going to challenge some of the most hallowed and repeated tenets of trading, and in doing so, set you up to succeed where others fail. Spoiler alert, we don't have a secret strategy or magic wand that will let you skip out on the hard work of learning the markets, but we can debunk viewpoints that are holding you back. If that sounds good to you, come join us. Welcome to the Anarchy Podcast. Hope you all have been awesome, had a great week. We had an email the other day, and this is a week or two ago, from a guy named John, and he asked an amazing question that I think a lot of people who listen to us might have. So I thought today would be an awesome time, Jordan, for us to answer this question. It goes back to kind of some of the fundamental things that we claim about day trading. So his email, and I'm going to very broadly paraphrase, but it goes something like this. He asked, okay, so at you claim that, you know, candlestick patterns aren't terribly predictive, that, you know, kind of you mock looking for certain patterns. You claim that kind of indicators aren't terribly, you know, that strategy isn't the secret to success. You know, he kind of like, okay, so all these claims, right? So how in the world do you know to take a trade, right? If you don't use candlestick patterns, if your strategy isn't what makes you money, if your indicators aren't what tell you when to take a trade, like, okay, so how do you know to take a trade, right? Because if you're looking, okay, you claim price action is great, is king, right? You follow price action. But when you're looking at a chart, you're looking at candlestick patterns. You're looking at candlesticks. So if you're not looking at candlestick patterns, if you're not looking for certain patterns, what are you looking for? By the way, the email was much nicer than that. My sarcastic tone didn't come across in the email. It was a great question. And I think a lot of people might have a similar answer. So Jordan, I thought that I'd throw it to you. If you don't use candlestick patterns, maybe we should at least first set up some context and kind of give a summary about kind of our beliefs on candlestick patterns, indicators, and strategy, and then we'll wrap around to answer the question at the end.
Yeah, well, great question, Levi, and yeah, really glad to be able to work on answering this one. I got injured playing basketball this week, so I'm still hobbing around. I was never been hurt playing basketball. I've twisted a few ankles, but I was planted. Someone hit the back side of my knee, and I thought I'd blown out my whole knee because I couldn't even walk.
But you're getting old.
I'm getting way too old. Well, everyone tell now, do I stretch? No, of course not. I'm an old school guy. Do I do yoga?
Right, right.
No, I don't do yoga. So do I warm up before I play basketball? No, but no. Maybe I'm getting to the point where I need to.
Yeah, that might be a thought.
But I digress. But no, it's a great question when it comes to kind of our whole mentality. Okay, so first of all, we don't believe in candlestick patterns because it's literally proven, right? If you actually look at the data, there is no correlation between candlestick patterns and the price going one way or the other, right? It just doesn't. But let me clarify this, and we can fulfill this in later. The fact is, just because candlestick patterns don't indicate the price is going, price action does. And price action and candlestick patterns are two separate things. And I think this is maybe what John was missing because, and maybe we haven't clarified this on the podcast, but the fact is that when we talk about candlestick patterns and we talk about price action, they're two separate things. So price action, like that's what we use to enter trades, price action. But price action isn't candlestick patterns. Price action is actually the real-time movement of the markets. So think of it this way. you have we use analogies all the time. And honestly, actually, I was talking to my wife. She just started listening. She had taken a few months off. She'd been really busy, and she actually just started listening to our podcast again this last week. And I asked her, I was like, "So do you have any suggestions for our podcast?" She's like, "Well, you guys use a lot of analogies. Maybe you should use less analogies." And I was like, "Well, we could do that. I'm sorry, I can't. I got to use it." But think of it as football. You looking at a still football, a picture of a football play, but it's not moving, right? It's just a picture. You've got the defense in one place, the offense in one place, and now you have to predict what's going to happen. Is it going to be a quarterback sneak? Is someone going to throw the ball? Are they going to run the ball? Is there going to be a screen? You don't know because it's still. That's a candlestick pattern, right? That's you looking at a chart. Things are frozen and you go, okay, I'm going to enter based off of this picture. Well, that is candlestick patterns. That has been proven not to work. Price action, on the other hand, is when you look at the price and it's moving. The market is open. It's going, the price is fluctuating up and down. There, the spread is going between 1 and 3 points, or it's going up and down. News is happening. This is the market is a moving, living thing. And that is price action. And that's completely different than a candlestick pattern. So hopefully maybe that kind of clarifies a little bit the difference between candlestick patterns and price action.
I think that's a good summary. The thing, I think the main difference is that price action, candlestick patterns are price action boiled down to essentially something completely useless, right? It's trying to explain the complexities of price action, which is everything you said, right? Momentum, all the, you know, the speed at which things are moving up and down, like it's trying to take all that and boil it down to, oh, here's a reverse doji, or here's a head and shoulders pattern, or here is an engulfing bearish, like, right? Like it's boiling it down to where it's essentially completely useless. By the way, if you don't believe us on candlestick patterns, a quick thing you can do is just open up a chart and then just look at all the times where that candlestick pattern doesn't work, right? So that engulfing bullish candle, look for all the times where that engulfing bullish candle then just completely goes bearish. Look for all the times where that dragonfly doji doesn't signal a reversal. It happens just as often, right? And by the way, you know, like Jordan said, this is they've done studies on this. They've done studies on the head and shoulders pattern specifically is one that pops into my head. Is not indicative of at all about a reversal. It's not useful. So yeah, I think that was a great example. Like price action is everything in total. Candlestick patterns are just that boiled down to, hey, look for these, you know, these candlesticks and then buy. And that's not useful at all. Okay. So if you're not looking, so candlestick patterns are kind of that boiled down.
Can I throw in one more thing about candlestick patterns before we move on? Sorry. The fact is also that you just have to remember that the market is fractal, right? And if you want more of this, go back and listen to our podcast on the reason why we don't believe in candlestick patterns. We have a whole timeframes. We have a whole episode on it. But the fact is, the reason why price action is different than candlestick patterns is because the fact that, let's say you have a 5 minute candle. Well, guess what? That 5 minute candle is made up of what? 5 1-minute candles. Now there's a big difference between 5 equal-sized candles going down versus, okay, four 1 minute candles doing nothing. And then one huge 4 minute candle, 1 minute candle, right? Which makes up a 5 minute candle. And so that's why we say price action is different, because let's be honest, behind every single candle is a whole nother set of, like, what would you say?
It's infinitely complex all the way down.
It's infinitely complex because you can open up every single time frame. And listen, the algos, like if you're talking about like the banks, like you can dive into the milliseconds of all of these candles, and there's patterns below the, like it, you can go down infinitely to the the essentially the price action bullet behind all of the other each candlestick. And so that's the reason why just a pattern doesn't mean anything, because below that there's other stuff. And so when you're when you're actually trading price action, you're actually getting to see some of that, even though you're not looking at, okay, we're not looking at the 10 second candles, but while you're watching price, you're actually seeing that price action, whether or not you're actually seeing those candles.
Yeah, I like that. So I think one reason a lot of people don't understand what the difference is that it's really hard to explain and to teach price action. In fact, I would argue you can't teach price action, right? You have to learn price action by watching price, right? By watching it. It's easy to hand someone a cheat sheet chart of like, and you'll see them, of course, if you have ever done anything with day trading, you'll see the chart full of, you know, candlestick patterns, right? Oh, learn these candlestick patterns. Save the time. They're not helpful at all, period, right? It's much easier to teach someone that than to teach them price action and go, okay, well, you're going to have to watch price and train your brain. And this is why, and this is, I in my response to John, I told him, look, you're not going to really like my answer, because you asked, how do you know when to take a trade, why or when you should take a trade? And my response was, I don't really know, which is not an answer anybody likes. And it's not an answer you can really sell, because the fact is, when I take a trade, I don't have a specific, well, there was this candlestick pattern followed by a doji followed by a blah, blah, blah. It's not explicit. It's much more intrinsic and much more soft. Just like, again, we use sports analogies all the time, but, I use a sports analogy in my response back, but I said, you could ask, you know, Messi, how he knew how to hit the ball at exactly 5 degrees and 32 miles an hour to make that crazy, you know, soccer goal or football. If you're in the rest of the world, it's not insane. But he could make up whatever crazy bullcrap answer he wanted to. But the fact is, he doesn't know why he hit it at exactly that angle and exactly that strength. He just did it because he felt right. He developed a feel by hitting enough soccer balls. And that's the part that I think a lot of the confusion comes from. People are looking, and I don't blame them at all, by the way, because this is how it's taught. People are looking for a specific, explicit plug-and-play strategy, A plus B equals take trade. And that's not really how it works.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And as you said, I mean, that's a great analogy. And as I said, maybe we use too many analogies, but I think
we
helps
definitely
you under,
do.
It,
good
it,
grief.
It, yeah, yeah. It, but my wife was mentioning, she's like, you guys use analogies all the time. I'm like, but they work. I think it helps people understand the principles, because people don't like, so many people, I feel like when they're talking about trading online, like they just make it sound like, ah, oh, this or this. And either they make it so easy to understand that they like oversimplify it to make it sound so easy, not hard, or they overcomplicate it and make it turn it into like some huge scientific thing that you need to have a PhD in and make it to understand.
ICT.
So, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, hey, moving on, right? Okay, so candlestick patterns, I think we beat that horse enough. The other one I would say, of course, is that kind of ties right into that. And we've discussed this before. Again, you can go look at one of our old episodes. Honestly, I think it was one of our first. But essentially, indicators are useless, right? There is no, we don't use an indicator to enter. Now, we've talked about this before, and the reason for this is, right, because indicators, all an indicator does is show you what's happened in the past. That's it. Yeah. It's just a way to interpret the price action in the past. There, it can't predict anything. So a indicator is not going to magically make you profitable. Now,
Yeah.
Does that mean you should never use? No, I actually use an RSI indicator when I trade. Now, I only use it to just keep me from entering into trades when the market is way too volatile or way too hot, right? Like that's the only reason I take it. And do I need it? No, because with my eyeballs, I can see that, oh my word, price is flying. I shouldn't get in right now. But I'm also a stupid trader. And so I sometimes need that little extra reminder for me not to get into the market. So if I've got my RSI and it's like at 80, I'm not getting into the market, even if I really want to. So it's just kind of a thing there to keep me keep me from being impulsive. And
Yeah.
I know a lot of some other guys that, they've got Bollinger Bands or something, and they'll only take trades if the bull, you know, if the if it's okay at the top range of the Bollinger Band or at the lower range, but then they're not entering based off of that. They're entering off price action, other criteria, and implicit learning. But that indicator is there as kind of just it's a safety net, right? It's just something that you use as a little bit of an extra reminder to not get in or to get in for various reasons. But it's never, you're never sitting there saying, okay, it touched the Bollinger Band, now I enter. Or the RSI hit just crossed the 50 while the EMA was moving at a 45 degree slant. Like
Yeah.
that's not what how you use them.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you say the talk about the implicit learning, I think that's where that can either scare you or it can really encourage you. I think a lot of, well, I know the vast majority of beginning traders, by the way, you and I included, they don't fully understand the how much feel is involved in day trading and how there are best practices, but there are not rules to just make money, right? There's no plug and play strategy. There's no indicator that on earth that you can use to make money. There's no candlestick pattern you can learn off a chart that you can just plug and play. That's just not how it works. It's feel based, right? You have to develop, just like any sport, you have to develop a feel. By the way, I just listened to an interview with, I forget who it was, but it was a top chess player. And he was saying that a lot, and this reminded me of this, that people misunderstand chess at its highest level. People think that chess is all about analysis and people like thinking 10 moves into the future. And sometimes when they're playing classical games, like 90-minute games, they will do deep thinks and think, 10 moves and ahead. But especially if you're playing blitz or rapid games that are 3 minutes long, which is very common, they're not analyzing anything. This top chess player, and I wish I knew who it was. He was saying, yeah, I mean, at that level and at that speed, you don't have time to analyze stuff. They've just played hundreds of thousands of chess games, and they can just look at a board that, by the way, they've never seen before. Each chess game essentially usually becomes unique. And they look at it, and based off of what they've played before, they get a feel for what to do. Now, they definitely analyze again, especially in the higher time frames, but feel is involved way more than people think. And I love that with trading. It's very similar. Yeah, if trading is an analysis game, you definitely use your brain. But you're going to see charts you've never seen before. And the only way to know what to do with that chart is not some like cheat sheet with candlestick patterns. It's by developing that feel, by watching price action over a long period of time and developing that implicit learning that'll give you success in the future.
Yeah, I think that was Hikaru. I
Okay.
listened to that
Yeah.
exact same video.
Really
And yeah,
great.
I totally agree. And great job. We just fit in another analogy. Dang, I just became aware of it. And that was like our eighth analogy
That's it.
on
That's it. We
the
are bad at this. I didn't even notice until
I
you pointed that
didn't
out, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But
I
yeah,
didn't notice
I
until she
loved it
pointed
because
out yesterday.
I heard it and I was like, man, that applies to trading a lot, I think.
It does. It does. Yeah, absolutely. Because again, it's an encouraging thing because it's feel, and every time that's why trading takes so long to learn, right? Because it is field based. And again, if you go out and you listen to, and I don't think we've said this for a little while, so I want to just kind of maybe get ready to kind of close off with that. The fact is, If you want to be a successful trader, no one is a successful trader overnight. There may be a couple savants, right? We've got Rain Man or something that it just can trade. But in general, like we've been in doing this for a while, and we've been in the community a while and talked to a lot of people. And successful traders usually take 2 to 3 to 4 years in order to become profitable traders. Like anyone who tells you they became profitable in the period of a couple months, I would say 99% of the time, maybe 98% of the time, they're lying to you because they want to sell you their course, their mentorship, their coaching. But the fact is, based off of what the actual real world stuff and the us talking to actual profitable, really good traders, we're talking 2, 3, 4 years at a minimum in order to become a successful trader. And some of them have been took longer than that, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And while that can be discouraging, it should also be encouraging, because most of you listening to this, I guarantee you, have not been trading for 4 or 5 years consistently, following, you know, the right process and not just bouncing around, you know, trying different indicators, etc. So all you have to do is, essentially boiling it down, is put in the time, follow the processes, follow your rules, and let your brain start taking that, you know, taking that learning in.
Yeah, I like that, because it does take the pressure off. It takes the pressure off a lot when you realize, hey, I can avoid jumping around to different strategies. I don't have to be all stressed out. I just have to put the time in. I have to keep trading. I have to keep watching the charts. Just like it helps take the pressure off when you realize chess is more about just playing a lot of games of chess. You can stop worrying about your ELO, which is the rating system, very similar to trading and worrying about the money you're making. Stop worrying about your ELO and just play a bunch of chess games, and eventually you'll get better. So with trading, very similar. Putting the time,
which I've gained 200 points on my 3-minute blitz game rating over the past month.
Congrats, man. Congrats, dude. I've been bouncing at 11, between 1100 and 1200 for the longest period of time, and it's killing me. It's been driving me crazy. But anyway, it's probably a good place to start. Put in the time, guys. Stop bouncing around strategies. Put in the time. You to become messy, you have to kick a bunch of soccer balls. Stop worrying about your strategy. Stop worrying about your technique as much. Yes, best practices, follow your rules. At the end of the day, though, put in the time, learn price action, and you'll eventually succeed.